Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back.
Yes.
Season 5.
Season 5, episode 1. We're back.
Babysitting Trevor.
Is getting back together.
The gang is back, very briefly.
And like most first episodes of series, I'm a little bit hungover.
You're a bit hungover.
Not really. I'm not nowhere near as much as I think maybe, was it season 3?
It was like, season 4.
Season 4 was, day 1, I was pretty rough.
Yeah. But anyway, we're excited.
We'll talk about that. Because basically, we're going to talk about how we caught up for the first time in ages.
I've been away for 8 months. I landed. We went to a bowling alley.
Because Trev suggested he wanted to bowl. Just out of the blue.
We said there's only tasks you want to do.
He wanted to go bowling. Like a 7-year old.
Yeah. He wanted to go bowling. So that was the task. And I've also written a poem.
I'm excited about this.
I've written a poem. And Trev's written a poem about our. Well, is it a victory? I don't know. We won a silver medal.
It's a victory.
Depends. If you're American, we're losers. If you're British, second place is really the one you want.
Yes.
We're officially the second funniest podcast in the world.
In Britain. It's the British podcast award.
Britain's my world though, mate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Trevor Crook.
Yeah,
Crookmaster.
Yeah, right. I'm back. We're all back.
It's nice to see you in a really different outfit to what you normally wear.
Yeah, I've sort of upgraded my style as far as dress goes. I've got some photos taken where I've got a suit on and all that shit. Julia talked me into it. I wouldn't fucking contemplate that shit myself.
Yeah.
So hang on, sorry, say that again. So that was separate to our task. She made you take some photos of a suit on?
Yesterday, a complete makeover. Oh, really? Photographs. Yeah, they look great, actually.
Oh, you didn't tell us about this.
You briefly mentioned you get some photos done, like new press shots.
Yeah, they were the ones. Yeah, we took 100 photos.
100 photos.
Exactly 100.
100. Yeah. You have a very weird photographer who charges per photo taken.
We're going to whittle them down to about 12. But I do look rather good because I don't like broadcasting photographs. I think it looks shocking. I think with the aging process kicking in, I don't really want to see photos of myself. Okay.
You can get them to touch it up. Yeah. In post, as they say. There are apps now where you can sort of iron out creases.
Yeah, you need a big fucking paintbrush to do me.
We'll do one after this episode. I'll take a photo of it and I'll show you. I'll be able to just smooth you out in post.
Yeah. Okay, I'll get them to do, because I'm not happy with my neck. I think
what's wrong with your neck now?
I think it's a bit fucking goosey or something. A bit goosey, old gooseneck. Yeah, I know. And I think I might need lower dentures. My mouth looks like an anus or something, doesn't it?
Like a bit
shriveled.
Bloody sounds like one too sometimes.
Yeah, it's really. So I need some fucking cosmetic help.
Okay. Although, apart from that, the photos were good though, were they? Apart from all that?
Well, when you see the photo, I'll send you copies of the photos. Yeah. They're professionally done by an extremely talented fucking photographer.
Yeah. Do you want to give him a plug?
Steve, what's his last name?
Is it Ullathorne?
Yes.
Oh, Steve Ullathorne. He took my first ever photos.
Oh, really? He didn't charge per photo back then. Times have obviously changed for Steve.
Yeah.
100 photo Steve.
There's a lot of gossip. I won't mention anything.
But last night, we'll talk about how we went out and made a nice catch-up and drink. But Chris did go home quite early due to jet lag.
Yeah, that's right.
But we carried on and put a bit of a shift
Did you get drunk, Trevor?
Yeah, I did, actually. Yeah. I mean, by my standards, I'm pretty drunk, you know what I mean?
But you were very, well, I mean, we were both well-behaved. We weren't drunk and disorderly. But we had there was one moment, I think, when we were in the Soho Theatre bar where you started talking about how you look. And I think I got quite sincere and said, actually, for your age, you look really good. And you took it really nicely.
I do think you look, you look very good for you. Yeah, I mean, obviously your age is a mystery and you won't ever tell us.
No, I'm proud of the way I look in a way, but I still don't. The sounds of time are still fucking passing through the hourglass.
But I mean, in terms of physical shape and everything, you're pretty. You're in good nick.
I feel good. I'm feeling a sugar-free diet. Fucking going quite well. I haven't cut out everything, but
I was going to say that's another sort of vague task.
We're going to do a task. Basically, one of the tasks for this series is we're going to challenge you to do we're going to go sort of very clean living.
Yes.
Sugar-free, maybe low-carb.
Yeah.
Try and cut your plastics down.
Yeah.
I mean, you currently got a plastic bottle in your top pocket, which is one of the weirdest places to hold a bottle I've ever seen. Normally people have got like a hanky in it.
But with your sugar-free thing, I kind of knew that was going to happen. You were going to be moving to, because my contact with you from Los Angeles in the last 8 months, you used to send quite a lot of like word emails. Now you just group email a video that a doctor's telling you.
But it used to be a lot of weightlifting. But now it is,
now it's mainly this stuff gives you heart attacks.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
stop doing that, so you're taking more of a conscious effort.
Yeah, I read a horror story about arteries, actually, and I was looking. They have this like calcium cardiac test.
Calcification is the word you use.
Yeah, that's right. That's what the hardening is, but it's called by calcium, and the calcium is called by inflammation, which is caused by insulin. So that's where
insulin causes the calcification.
Yeah, that's right.
And insulin is obviously caused by sugar.
Carbs. Basically,
Because carbs get turned into sugar by the body.
It's sugar. That's right.
I did watch one of the videos.
That gives you inflammation.
Was that the bald doctor telling that one?
No, that was another one.
No, another
one. Yeah. I know, because what happens is Trev sends a link and you open it. And my rule on if somebody sends me a link is if it's over about 3 minutes, the chances of me watching it are 0 to 1%.
But I watched the full 20-minute video of this bald doctor.
I watched that one as
going, all this stuff can. It said in the video how to stop getting bad heart and all that. And then he said all the stuff that could give you a heart attack and mess up your health. But then he didn't tell you the solution.
So then
I was like, then you have to go and pay to see.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was a bit skeptical. I know it's a fucking scam. You know what I mean? You'll have some magic fucking potion or something. Yeah.
Did you try and investigate how to get?
No, I'll go straight off it.
So you just basically scared me by saying everything I was doing was wrong.
Yeah.
And then didn't offer me any solution.
Right. And he was bald anyway. Fuck, if it was any good, he wouldn't be bald. Would he?
I don't know if that's a fact.
Carbs cause baldness.
No.
What happened to you? I ate a lot of bread.
Yeah.
I have to say with the health stuff, obviously living in Los Angeles, people are very, very health conscious.
Yeah.
To the point where it is very annoying. Like people's chat is...
What about, and I mean, obviously... Have you been to LA, Trev?
No, it looks very, very polluted. So I don't know the health.
It is actually, it is quite polluted. I think, to be honest, I don't know. I guess people do drive everywhere, so maybe, and there's a lot of people. I think the air quality isn't great.
Yes.
But, and also there's always forest fire somewhere nearby, and that just blows into the air. So
I might go now, though, because I've never had a contact in LA, and I didn't want to go on my own. I'd get kidnapped or something.
So that's why yesterday you were like, "Are you like, can you crash at mine?" I went, "Yeah," and I said, "Yeah," but now I'm worried that Trevor will be there for 4 months.
I mean, that's what happened with Julia. I moved in for a weekend, but I'm still there 20 years later.
You are also married.
That's right.
Not just a lodger with her.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the sofa, sir.
But I was going to say the problem I think you'd have in LA is it's not dissimilar to Sydney. Is that I think a lot of people walk around in yoga pants. Young ladies.
You'd find it very hard.
Young
to...
ladies in tight shorts.
I think you're talking more about
staring at women's bums.
Oh, I stare into the arses. Yeah, I do.
Stare into the arses.
I was in the gym.
It looks like my mouth. Anus.
I was in the gym one day. There was a girl with a very tight tracksuit doing deadlifts.
Yeah.
And she had a beautiful ass, and I was like 6 feet away. So absolutely. Anyway, I was looking at her ass, but I didn't want to be too. I wanted to be fairly covert about it, but but then I heard someone yelling out, and I looked around, and Julie was at the top of the stairs, just fucking pointing at me,
shaming you, publicly shaming you,
public shaming me.
That's so. So you must have been doing it quite obviously that she She did that.
She saw from another floor.
She saw from above.
I was doing it so covertly. People saw it from 80 yards away.
She's standing there with a newspaper with two holes cut in front of
Wearing a very provocative outfit. I mean, she should have, you know, trained in something baggy.
I don't think that. I think when it comes to exercising, females generally it's exercise gear, isn't it?
They don't have the. That's just what they get made for, isn't it? Like, people make exercise gear for men, and it's always just like a vest and shorts.
Yeah.
But women, they just make them tights. That's what they have to buy, isn't it?
Yeah. Here's what I'd like to know with the exercise, though. My yoga instructor called TRX instructor Eduardo. Yeah. He always says at the beginning of the class, set your intention. It's like, set your intention for the day. Do you ever do something like that? Would that help you? Would that inspire you?
No, I don't want to be too structured in my daily life.
Like empty the dishwasher. He means like just set your mental intention for the day. Like, be positive or...
No. No, I can't do that.
We had a conversation last night about living in the present. Do you remember that?
That's right. That would be an intention for the day. Try and live in the present.
Because when I get my existential fucking angst, anxiety feel, it's very disturbing.
Yeah.
It's just a thought. And it's about thinking, oh, fuck, we've evolved from fucking reptiles. I go straight with my anxiety, go straight back to the dawn of time.
To reptiles.
Like, well, what the fuck going on?
Yeah.
And where's all this leading and what are we doing in this universe? It gets very deep and existential.
Yeah.
So I need to change that. I need to go, fuck it, live in the present.
Yeah.
And that's where mindfulness comes in. And that's why when I see a dog, I'm looking at dogs and I find them like Buddhist fucking monks or something. Like, dogs are fully in the present.
They are present.
They enjoy themselves.
But I'd say that for most animals, aren't they?
Yeah.
Cats tend to be quite present.
I don't. But dogs show their pleasure more, don't they? They're happy. They're wagging their tail. They're licking another dog's ass or whatever the dogs do.
I saw a video the other day of a guy doing lunges in his house, walking lunges, and his dog behind him copying him doing lunges.
Great. Oh, that's fucking sweet.
Nice. As a new dog owner.
Are you a dog?
I have to say, mate, having a dog
having a little Buddhist monk.
When I was texting you, it was so funny because I never used to like dogs that much, but I don't know if it's a bold statement.
You used to hate dogs.
I used to be a bit scared of them, but now I've got one. I don't know if it's a big statement, but I'd say as a man, he's probably my best friend. I don't know if you've ever heard something.
but great friends to men.
You don't want dogs mimicking everything you do. That could be
no. They are. There is. We had this weird thing where we were looking after our friend's dog for 2 weeks, and he has like called Sammy has like some form of anxiety where he just needs to be involved. So anytime me and Hannah, it sounds like really like soppy, we would hug. He'd jump off the sofa and join us and hug. But then to the point where, if I went into the bathroom, he just wants to know where you've gone. So he comes and checks you out and just like watches you on the toilet. Then he walked back.
Yeah, but he shut the door so he can't come in.
Yeah, but I feel bad for the guy, so I let him in.
But you're having a poo.
Yeah, but it's just what the dog doesn't. I watched the dog do five shit
during
today.
The
Sammy dog was wanting to, but our dog now isn't interested in us having sex. But the other one was the other one we had to sneak off to have sex. Let's lock the bathroom door. If we did it on the bed,
if I loved you, actually, you'd have to sneak off.
Definitely.
I have to get a hotel for the night.
Lock the bathroom door when he's outside scratching it.
Listening with the glass. Yeah, I'm listening with the glass.
Just crying and scratching the doors.
I used to do that. I used to live with a bloke of mine in Tasmania, and there was like people next door shagging like mad.
Yeah.
And I heard that if you get a glass and hold it up against the wall, a bit like a stethoscope.
Yeah.
So I actually did that for a while. Just not a young bloke, it's only a kid, basically.
So you would just listen to your neighbours have sex through a glass?
Yes, that's right.
For the whole... What? Was that fun? I don't know, I've never done
it. Yeah, no, I like it. Yeah.
It's something quite funny. I found it. We heard our neighbours having sex the other day, like 7 in the evening. It's really funny.
It is. It's like our upstairs neighbours, the Italians, they sometimes still have a right old loud afternoon sesh the weekend sometimes.
Really?
They work quite a lot during the week. So
they work a lot during the week, so they really earn it.
Yeah, they earn it. They wait till the weekend. Like football players, isn't it? 3 o'clock on a Saturday, just actually knock lumps out of each other.
It's a horrible image. But it is funny. That it's definitely funny. Like when we heard them doing it, it was like proper porn star. You're just like, who's that? You're aware. If you're in a hotel, then that's different.
Yeah.
I think in your residence, just to really go for it like that.
Yeah, I mean, I
you loud in the bedroom, Trev, when you...
I've had people downstairs, this is when I lived in Sydney, mimicking the sound I make when I come.
Oh,
and they said, it's disgusting, isn't it? But the... now the bloke down said, oh, I'm sick of that fucking idiot upstairs. You know, the noise I make.
It sounds like one of your karate moves.
Yeah. Eep, eep, whatever noise I make, I can't replicate it unless I'm actually coming, so I can't do it now. But
God, thanks for clearing that one up.
Yeah, but it was, I suppose the sounds you make are individual, aren't they?
Must be quite loud for your neighbour.
Yeah, your neighbour. So you then hear them afterwards discussing you angry. They would be like...
Yeah, that's right.
So how thin was your floor?
Well, we had a house divided up with fucking plywood, basically.
So it wasn't a real
house.
They had
like one, two, probably six rooms in the one house.
Right.
And the walls were very thin.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't... You could hear it without, without any... problems.
That's funny that they'd hear you shagging and then you'd hear them talk about hearing you shagging.
Yeah, I know. And the boy, the noises I made.
Was that the one you used in the glass?
No, this was years later. Oh, this was when I was married to Hattie and the people downstairs. And he had a beautiful wife too. So I got sort of slightly turned on by the whole thing. When I think about it, it was like
them listening.
Yeah, them listening.
That's
fair.
It's probably
become a bit exhibitionist or voyeuristic.
I suppose. Well, voyeurism is normally when you're like being watched, being heard. Is quite, yeah, that's a totally different branch of.
Yes, a lot of
acoustic voyeurism.
I like being
heard, not by men. Other women. I like women hearing it.
It's quite hard to manufacture that situation.
We should record you having sex and release it as a podcast.
Yeah.
For women.
But only to women. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to be a woman to download it.
Well, I have a dog in the corner copying me. Just for...
Should we do that? Should we start releasing some special episodes?
Special episodes.
It's like Trev's sex noises.
Sex noises. Yeah.
The soothing sex noises of Trevor Crook.
It's like animal sound. You know, when you listen to the sounds of the rainforest. Right. It's just Trev. Yeah.
Well, that's a noise. Should we do related to Trev? Do you want to hear my poem? I've
started
writing
a few poems. Written poetry.
Tell you what, this is my little tip from being married. If you want to just really cheap but present that makes your other half love and you just write a poem.
Absolutely.
I've written one in the car with her driving once. She was in the bath. It's a great. You're in the dog. You were a bit in the doghouse last night. You said.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Because me and Carl had a bit of an argument. Carl started an argument with me.
We'll talk about it
in a section too. But poetry, mate. A poem about the person you love is.
Okay.
Anyway, this is called "I Miss Trevor." In sunny Los Angeles, chasing my dreams, there's something missing, an ethereal being. A creature whose anxieties and quirks make me laugh. That's right, it's that no-tooth scumbag with a moustache, Trevor. From the Big Smoke to transatlantic tales, we stay in contact over his infrequent emails. Filled with philosophical thoughts and candor? Nah, just YouTube vids of doctors telling me how to avoid cancer. Trevor. I miss his Swiss cheese trainers and anorexic lips, his stories of his mates who love to whip out their dicks, the time when he posed for a gay admirer or when he swapped karate for an oral shiner. Trevor. He refuses to even get on the tube, worried about ISIS being very rude. He washes his hands like Lady Macbeth, worried an innocent handshake could lead to his death. Trevor, his passing would be so sad for sellers of the mango, causing stocks to plummet in his true love, Tesco. The only positive is the sweet relief that would follow the grief from his commander-in-chief, Julia, finally relieved of her babysitting duties of her life partner and food thief, Trevor. Come to California, be my eccentric neighbour. But I know in truth you'll never do me that favour. Why won't you move there where there's Botox and fakes? The guns? The president? Nope, they don't sell Jaffa cakes. I miss you, Trevor, you fucking toothless scumbag. Please follow us at Babysitting Trev.
It's very good, very good.
It's excellent.
Cheers.
Trevor.
Yeah.
I really like that
punctuation. Yeah. Trevor.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, I call myself a professional barnacle. That's how you fucking describe me.
So, this week's sort of task, you know, it was a group task again. Yeah. But you said in the time when we were apart, you'd like to go bowling.
I said bowling.
Why right. Had you never been bowling?
I learned bowling when I was at Croydon Tech when I was about 15. And I used to go to Woodville Bowl. And I just liked it. You know?
Yeah.
A skinny kid, the ball felt really heavy. So I still envisaged the balls are still heavy, but they're not, are they?
No, not at all. So, and actually, the one we went to last night had a very small selection of
they only
balls.
Had 8, 10, 8 and 12. I like picking a 16 up and pretending I'm a big guy.
Yeah.
No, going back to my adolescent years, but no, I'd like to try bowling again.
Oh, so you haven't done it since then?
No, I haven't.
First time you bowled in 50 years.
Yeah, something like that.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I bet you tried that to get him to give you his age.
And he worked out. Or 40 years.
40 years.
Yeah, well, anyway.
We discussed things last night, didn't we, about living in the present and money and...
Oh, we did, yeah. That was in a taxi. We got quite a philosophical taxi chat.
Money's not everything. And then he gets a fucking taxi receipt after the... So I can claim it on his tax.
Money is something.
Money's not important.
That's not important.
Apparently,
you should claim your expenses.
But just to quote, we had a funny. It's on our Instagram at babysitting Trevor. I think someone had commented who listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
How has this man Trevor got a wife, and how does he own a house in Australia and in England?
Well, I'd say I owned a house in Australia because my ex-wife. But it was her idea.
Because you know what we were messaging about between me, Joel and Carl was like, I can't imagine you buying a house. Like, you owning one is one thing. So how does he even own a... Could you talk me through the process of buying a house?
Well, back then it was easy to get a loan. So I was a stand-up comedian making no money, but I lied about I had a fucking job or something like that. Just made it up.
This would be so easy just to get a mortgage. They just wouldn't check.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you got a job? Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. What job did you pretend you had?
I said I was a council worker, but I think by then I'd stopped being a council worker.
It's a really boring job. If you're going to lie and make up a job.
Yeah, like you're a banker or something.
Just say anything, but you just lie.
I'm a binman.
Yeah. So they did no checkups whatsoever.
Right.
So there's only an $80,000 mortgage, which, okay, back then that's a lot more. If you go to the inflation, that 80 grand back then was still a bit of money. But it was her idea, Hattie.
And I imagine she did most of the admin.
Yeah.
I did nothing. I did
one lie, and that was it.
I just rocked up and fucking just sat there and nodded and signed, and that was it.
Yeah.
Everything else was done by Hattie.
Wow.
And she got the furniture, and she, did the place up. I didn't do anything. I just fucking sat there in the corner.
You just sat there while stuff slowly accumulated around you.
Yeah. Like a film montage.
You sat in a corner of an empty room. Then, like, next minute later, you're on a chair in the corner of the room while stuff gets...
So what happened then was... we had the place in joint name.
Yeah.
And then Hattie sort of fucked off with another bloke. And and then this other bloke, he had a massive coronary.
Yeah.
He had a massive coronary and just fucking passed away.
So the Australian bloke, she went with another Australian bloke.
Yes.
And what was he like?
He was very fucking, I don't know, I think he was a bit jealous of me or something. You know what I mean? He really liked Hattie and I
obviously stole her.
Yes, right.
So
I get the impression he really liked my ex-wife.
I really
like my married to him.
He made derogatory comments about my comedy and that, so I thought he's fucking jealous.
That's a low blow. That's a low. If you steal someone's wife,
don't take the mick out of their jokes.
Just
what did he do for a living?
He was a computer expert.
Really?
Just an expert.
Yes, an expert.
It's not a real job.
Yeah.
That's just another, that's a made up mortgage. Like
beyond,
job,
yeah, beyond. Yeah,
what do you do for a living? I'm a computer expert.
I'm a computer expert. Yeah. 100 grand.
It was beyond the programmer. Beyond a programmer. So right. He's very, like, an expert at it.
Beyond the programmer.
And then what happened? Well, unfortunately, he just, like, you know, just fucking hit the dust.
Yeah.
And then she.
So you got the last
got this pay up, like a life insurance.
Oh, right.
But in order to get more money, she couldn't have any other assets. And that's where she had to sign the place over to me.
Yes.
Right. So I got the place totally.
She got
a bigger payout.
It's quite weird that you own a house because your wife slept with someone, then he died, and then that made you own a house.
Yeah.
Isn't that, that's a very unconventional way to get on the property market.
Yeah, it is. It's a very you way of getting a house.
It's such a Trevor way of getting a house.
Do nothing.
Wait for a strange man to die.
If it was up to me, I'd still be living in a fucking closet or something. So I must give full appreciation to Hattie. Without her, I definitely wouldn't have that place.
And then we've come forward to now where you've...
That's right. Then
I
came here, and then Julie... I was living with Ed Byrne for a while in Battersea.
Such funny flatmates.
Ed's a good bloke. We got on very well.
What was it like living in bed? Were you guys... were you both, before you met Julie, both single guys? Or?
No, he had a girlfriend.
Okay.
Now, he went to Australia, and he said, you can have my flat for 5 months.
Oh.
Free of charge.
Yeah,
that's such a Trevor.
You really do land on your feet.
About you, people are like, I'll just hook this guy up with some free accommodation.
Yeah, so
have you ever paid for accommodation in your life?
Not really. No, I have always been a bit of a fucking,
I can't imagine you on booking.
I'm professional. I call myself a professional barnacle. That's how you fucking describe me.
Just attach yourself to things.
Yeah. So anyway, what happened then? His girlfriend wanted to move in, and he said, "Well, it's a small flat. You know, you may have to move out." So I just met Julie. She'd come to a gig and she'd give me quite a good review. So I was in contact with her. And she said to me, I said, "Julie, I've got nowhere to live." You know what I mean? She said, "Oh, you can move in with me."
How soon into going out of her was this?
I think a couple of months, maybe.
That's quick. Wow.
She said, "You can move in with me." But she only meant for the weekend.
Yeah.
She only meant for the fucking weekend.
What year, was this?
You thought 1998. You thought she meant for 20 years.
I didn't even listen.
So she went, "You can move with me," but she didn't specify you have to be out on Monday.
No, she didn't. She meant the weekend.
Okay.
But I thought, well, fuck it. You know, and I moved in and stayed. I've been there ever since. 20 years later. But I love the flat. I consider it home.
You have lived there for 20 years.
That's right.
I'm starting to feel really at home
there.
That's
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, consider it
you
home.
Didn't have to lie. You didn't have to lie about your job or anything.
My place in Sydney is like a secondary home. I prefer the place in Brixton.
Yeah.
So I find the whole situation in Sydney a bit unbearable in a way. I like my flat, and when I close the door behind me, who gives a fuck? I could be in the south of France.
You'd be a great estate agent.
Yeah.
I know the area is shit, but shut the door, guys. You're a niece.
Yeah,
we're on
Teeb. Yeah, that's right.
Help yourself to a baguette I just bought.
Yeah. So that's the way I look at it. When I'm inside my flat, I don't even answer the door and see, like, people knock. I generally don't come to the fucking door.
Is it in good condition? Do you keep, what's the upkeep of the place like? Nicely decorated.
Do you have a cleaner?
When I let those pieces of shit move in and rent it out, they wrecked it.
I remember that.
Yeah, cockroaches everywhere. And I spent $12,000 of Julia's money to to fix it up.
When you said 12 grand, I mean, my next question was going to be, where did you get $12,000?
Julia was good enough to lend me the money.
You're the most successful homeless person I've ever met in my life, Trevor. You are you're an inspiration.
I mean, to get the money back, you'd have to hold a fucking seance, I think, to get it out of me, but that's how long it's going to take to get it back. But the it's her flat as well. I mean, you know, something happened to me, she'd get the flat. Written in the will and said you can have
This is just hypothetical. I hope nothing happens to you or Julia.
Yeah.
Where are me and Carl in the chain of command?
Well, the chain goes like this. If I lose my flat, Julia gets it. If she dies, my sisters get it. If they die, some of their kids may get it.
Right.
If they die, probably you two.
Oh, okay.
That's right, yep.
So how many people do you have to kill to get a free house?
Yeah.
Kill that 10 people.
Well, you might be a fucking Hollywood success by then, so maybe you won't fucking need it.
You'll be living in my pool house.
That'd be so funny.
Trevor will be in my pool house to get a third free house. I die of a drugs overdose. Trevor's just like, God, a mansion in the hills.
So that's how I've gone about living in various parts of the world.
It's a testament to just keep your head down.
Do you know what it is? It's be charming.
Have no shame.
Be quite charming with no shame. Be sort of lovable. Be a lovable. I don't know how. Yeah, you're a lovable.
Rogue.
You're a lovable mess.
Yeah, because what I do with Julie, even though I'm very hard to live with, I must admit, you know what I mean. I have these bad sides to myself where I can be quite argumentative on an intellectual level. I don't get personal. I don't abuse people or anything like that. I'm civilized. But then I've got the good points of, you know, I do make a laugh. I'm quite affectionate.
And I mean, that is a form of rent.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Think about it.
Yeah, six laughs a fucking week is my rent money.
Yeah. Yeah, people say to you, how much do you pay for your place in Brixton?
Yeah, that's right.
I just make about eight jokes a week.
Eight jokes a week.
I'm allowed to live there.
Junior's like, Trev, you're about three jokes behind on this month's rent.
Oh, no. Yeah, I couldn't get a laugh out of a laugh. No.
Yeah, because, back to the bowling then. We went bowling. We had an hour slot. We were waiting for you guys. You kept ringing Carl.
Yeah, that's Julie.
Julie, because you guys were lost.
You both lost.
And you had a...
Well, I didn't realise there's two places with the same fucking name.
Yeah, well, there's All Star Lanes in Bloomsbury, and then there's Bloomsbury Bowling Lanes.
Yeah, that's right. So
I went for Bloomsbury Bowling Lanes, which I did send the name, website, and actual address.
So I blamed her for being lost.
Yeah.
So then I began to be a bit fucking kicking stones and cans like a fucking kid. You know what I mean?
3 year old.
Yeah, that's right.
No, you have a tantrum.
And she kept coming back. Come on. I'd carrying on a bit. So she's like a wooden fucking. And she hated catching the bus. She wanted to be on the tube.
Of course.
Quick, and I don't catch the tube, so I'm on the bus. Fucking takes forever, doesn't it? Stuck at lights and fucking, you know what I mean? I mean, even I felt like punching the bus driver in the back of the fucking head, you know what I mean? It just gets irritating as fuck, doesn't it?
For abiding by the traffic lights.
But then she got home.
Run it, mate, run it. I'm going to punch you in the head.
And then she said, would you like something to eat? And that's the icebreaker from her, you know, that's me, like, fucking winning her back again.
And then you knew you were back in the good books.
Well, then I decided to stay up a little bit, but she began to sort of... want me to come to bed.
Oh. Yeah.
So when I was near the bed, I hadn't made a commitment to go to bed yet, but when I entered the room to take my false teeth out, she'd put her arm out as if to say,
come to
Trevor,
bed.
I need you here.
Oh, yeah.
I still didn't go straight away. I thought, teach her a bit of a lesson.
What, teach her a lesson?
Not accepting you've actually managed to get back in a good book, so you should be happy.
But then I play all kinds of games, but then I thought, let her wait a little bit, leave them wanting more. So I did a few other things around the flat, but she's waiting for me.
What were you doing around the flat?
I just nothing really.
Stood in another room.
Stood in a dark room for 10 minutes and walked back.
That's right.
And then you went to bed.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I went to bed, and as soon as I get into bed, then she comes over for me for a bit of a snuggle. Then it's fucking easy peasy.
that's Married 101. Isn't
yeah,
it?
Lovely
that's
sweet
right.
end. To
that's
that
a
story.
Nice ending. Should we hear your poem?
Yeah, all right.
Let's see a poem about...
I sent it from the Podcast Awards. Here we are at the crossing of swords to find the funniest in the Podcast Awards. Will we be recognised for the effort put in? What will it take to seal the win? We were funny, no doubt of this. That's why we're on the shortlist. So many downloads and still counting. We want gold. The pressure is mounting. Bronze or silver are more than possible, but missing gold, that's just not plausible. We have diehard fans and rave reviews. The stage is set. We cannot lose. Funny, unique, and quite clever. These are the hallmarks of babysitting Trevor. Two young blokes and a cynical old fart have turned his mental illness into art. Will dysfunctional Trev, racked with anxiety, be recognised for his wit and hilarity? Will his babysitters earn first place or be vanquished in total disgrace? The tension is mounting, my buttocks are clenched. I'm sweating profusely, underpants drenched. Joel too is feeling the heat, our name is mentioned, his heart skips a beat. Are all of our efforts to be in vain? Can this fine man endure the pain? The envelope opens, the result unfolds. Fuck, we missed the gold.
Aww.
Did we deserve to win? The jury's still out, but winning silver is better than nout. Three of us accept it logically, even philosophically. But for vegan Carl, the result is scary. He's been beaten by beef and dairy.
I like that. Good. I like that.
Good.
That's good, mate. Yeah, that's good. I actually built some real tension into that. It made me a bit gutted we didn't get gold there.
Yeah, I know.
You already took me back there. But
we'll win it next year, mate.
Romesh gave us a big... met Romesh the other night.
Oh, yeah.
He was very complimentary about the podcast.
I thought you were going to... Sri Lankan. That's what
we've got some celebrity fans. So, Trev...
thanks.
Good to be back.
Good to be back.
It's great to be back. I still feel the old magic there, mate.
Yeah, still there. Not lost it. Yeah.
Just like bowling. Still yes, exactly right, yeah, as good as it was 40 years earlier. Or maybe 55 years earlier.
Smooth as fucking silk.
It was. This next week, or next task, episode, we're going to go for a little gym sesh.
Yeah. Catch up gym sesh.
Yes.
Because Carl's been hitting the gym recently.
I've been doing a bit. So, yeah, we're going to see how I fare now since last time. Was it a couple of seasons ago we went and talked about it? Let's see if I've improved.
We'll see you next week, Trev.
Okay, catch you later.
So that was episode one of season five. That was fun. I really liked.
We've done this is one. We're now into one more season than Breaking Bad managed.
They did five. I think.
Oh shit! I thought they did four.
Doesn't matter. It's not about quantity, it's about quality.
That is true.
That's a phrase. It took me a long time to remember. What's that phrase? Oh, that's the phrase. That was good. I really liked hearing about Trevor's just Julia whispering.
Oh yeah, it's lovely. I really enjoyed the actual breakdown of how he's managed to accumulate property.
The weirdest version of Monopoly ever.
I know. Just
get married. Just
take your time. Keep your head down.
Just stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane, and then wait for someone to die.
Thanks for listening.
I just realised most people have to wait for someone they love to die to own a house. Trevor just had to wait for someone he hated to die to own a house.
That's it.
It's
a new way of doing it.
Anyway, keep listening. Go on iTunes.
Give us some ratings. Tell your friends, tell your family.
Go on at Babysitting Trev and at Babysitting Trevor.
Yeah. Share. I'll tell you what. Why don't you give it a share on social media? Just when you listen to this episode, just put a little
screenshot
on social media saying, guys, if you haven't, listen to Babysitting Trevor. It's really fun.
Here's some advice on owning a home.
Yes.
Share it. Because millennials can't afford that shit.
Exactly. They need to learn the ways of the master.
See you next week.
See ya. Babysitting Trevor is a .. production hosted by Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin and Trevor Crook and is produced by Joel Porter.
Mother's Day is just around the corner and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.